If you would just take your Bibles as we make our declaration before Him, say, "This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen." And I'm going to have to use the handheld mic because we were having problems with the other one. So just to let you know that I didn't forget. I'm not that old. I'm not as old. No. I can mess. Amen. Amen. But we certainly do appreciate you. I thought Andrew did a great job last week. He did a good job. I'm glad to see people came back. Amen. Amen. But he did a good job. And, you know, that's not an easy thing. Even though you're called by God and God, it's not an easy thing to stand up. You can ask people that have done it. And I'm sure everybody has had to stand up in front of somebody somewhere, and speaking. It's not the easiest thing. But the more you do it, the more relaxed you get, and you just depend upon the Holy Spirit to take that word and penetrate the hearts of the people, that we would understand His word. If you would, please turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Before I read the scriptures that I want to read, in scriptures there is at least three times where God the Father, through the men that pen down the scriptures, that they say either it is finished, implying finished, or it's done. At least three times, those words are pinned down and either said by Jesus on one occasion, by the Holy Spirit, the Father, whatever, implying it to the men that were writing the scriptures down. And, you know, and as reading and trying to understand those things, I thought it was like, wow, that's very important. Because, you know, when the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, all three are one, the Godhead, the Trinity, the Godhead, when they say something, it's important. Even if the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit says, that's important because it's coming from Him. So anything He says, so there are three times in scriptures that it is either implied or actually said finished or done at least three times. And when it's done and finished, it means something very important has just finished. Something has just happened. And God has finished the work. Before I read the scriptures, I want to give you a definition of what finished is. And, you know, you might say, well, yeah, okay. Finished means either ended or completed. Finished means either ended or completed. Or completed or perfected in all details as a product. The word done means completed or finished. So it means what? The same thing. The words mean the same thing. As I said earlier, in the scriptures, three times the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit use these words or imply these words to us or certain situations. In Genesis chapter 2, Look at starting with verse 1. It says this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. Ended means he finished his work. Finished means what? Completed. Finished means what? Ended. It could also mean done. It's done. Means completed, finished. And he rested, and he didn't have to rest because he was tired. That means he just took time off. He completed it in 6 days. And the seventh day, which was Saturday, okay, it was the end. It all had been done and finished with. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You might say, well, what did he complete? Well, we're going to look at those things. And to be honest with you, I probably won't finish this message today. You'll have to come back next week. But that's okay. That's okay. Because you see, I'd rather take time and we learn than rush through it and we kind of, okay, well, there's a question here or a question there. But it says that what did he complete? Well, we know he completed the creation of all things in 6 days. Now, we know this. We have the old adage. Well, was it actually a 24-hour period of day? Or as some have suggested, it might have been one day, might have been 1,000 years or so. If you look at the Old Testament and you look at the New Testament, and we know the Old Testament was written in what? In Hebrew. The original language. It wasn't written. The Old Testament and the New Testament was not originally written by the king. King James. That's not it. It was translated into the language of King James. But the original Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The original New Testament was written in Greek. And when you go back and you look at certain words that were written in Greek and Hebrew, you can get the correct knowledge of how the scriptures were written and what they actually mean. Because we lose sometimes the meaning of certain things in translations. And in God, in all his infinite wisdom and knowledge, which he never faints, and we know that, from how God moved this morning, that God knew what language to write the word of God in. Because the English language changes dramatically from generation to generation. What a word means, what a word meant 50 years ago is not exactly what it means today a lot of times. Now some do, some stay the same, but a lot of them changes. But the Greek and Hebrew, when it was written, it stayed in that language, and that's the meaning of it. And it never changes, which God never changes. Just a bar note. Early this morning, I sensed the Spirit of the Lord in this place. It's like I said, Lord, something's going to happen today. It's like I just knew it. My spirit was like, it was cutting flips on the inside. That's what I can tell you. I knew it. I knew it. I said, Lord, you're going to move. You're going to touch the people. Lord, it just something on the inside. I knew what the Spirit of God, not exactly what he would do, but I knew what God was going to do something and touching the people. You see, we are a spirit-filled church. We don't act like any others. You might say, what do you mean? We move with the Spirit and whatever he wants. We speak in tongues and we don't deny it. We don't come masked as a Baptist church or any other church. We come as a Spirit-filled Pentecostal church, born by the Spirit of the living God. It says in Acts chapter 2 that the Father said, go to that place, to the upper room, and stay there till the Spirit of God comes. And then it says the New Testament church was born out of the Spirit of the living God. And how much more do we need the Spirit of the living God today to flow at will within the people's hearts and lives? If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit as far as speaking in tongues, you need to ask God for it. You need to seek God for it. You need to read scriptures on it and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. You need it. You don't need it to go to heaven, but you need the power today to live a life that is pleasing unto God, full of the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of God. We've gone too long. The church world has gone too long without the Spirit of God. And look what it has gotten us. Oh, we have riches. As the scripture says, we are rich and have need of nothing. But God looks at us and say, as a whole, you are poor and wretched. We need the Spirit of the Lord to move at will. Bar note. It took actually 6 days consistent with a 24-hour period to make everything upon the earth. Honestly, it could have taken 1 day, 1 second with Almighty God. But God in his infinite wisdom and patience took 6 days to create everything. 6 days. You might say, well, how do you know it's 6 days? The Greek word, and you might say, oh Lord, or the Hebrew word, Greek is the Hebrew word for a day. It's spelt like this, Y-O-M, Yom. And when that word for a day is used in scripture talking about morning or evening, it's always implied in the Hebrew language as a 24-hour period. So you see, God on the first day made things, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, in an actual 24-hour period. Now, there's all kind of other things I could say, but on the first day, in Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. Now, he knew it would be good. Got to remember, a rebellion had taken place upon the earth. Because you see, almighty Lucifer, compared to us, he's mighty. Okay? Not mightier than our God, because he was created by our God. But he was the ruler of the earth. He had dominion over this earth. God had given him dominion over the earth. Dominion. And so he had dominion. And when he fell from grace with God and sinned against God, that God, that the formation of the earth took on a form of no life. Darkness was upon the face of the earth everywhere. There was nothing left. It was basically a void substance of matter floating in the atmosphere here. Yes, we know in the hands of God. But because of the rebellion and all of the angels that rebelled against God, that it became a place that was void of nothing. Zero. Then God said, let there be light. Let there be light. It was a watery, formless planet Earth suspended in the darkness and the void of space. No sun, no stars, no moon, no planets existed except Earth that we know of. But God said, let there be light. That means that the expanse of darkness was taken away and The night and day basically was formed. The indication, the first indication that the planet is rotating was that there was a night and day cycle produced when the separation of light from the darkness. Day two. It says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. What he was saying was the formation of the earth's atmosphere, separating the water into two parts. You might say, Pastor, why are you going through this? Because I've learned this. The church doesn't know scripture. And pastors too. When I say the church, I mean everybody. We might think we know it, but I'm telling you, we are so far from the word of God that we need to know the scriptures. That God created everything. That evolution was not truth. Evolution was spawned by the demons from the pit of hell to discredit God in his creation of what he made. And the church has laid back and saying, well, okay, well, we'll accept it a little bit there. No. We can't accept anything that was spawned and given from the pit of hell. Zero. And what the demons in hell and old Slewfoot has tried to do is discredit your God in the formation of the earth and everything in it. And the formation of human beings. We're to stand for truth. Because anything that God has pinned down and given us is truth. And anything that diverts from this truth is non-truth. Evolution is not correct. Evolution is wrong. It is absolutely wrong. Our God has created everything upon the earth because the scripture says so. You might say, well, what if people don't believe in the scripture? That's the deal. They don't believe in the absolute necessity of truth. They think if most people today believe, well, if I think it's correct, it's correct. That's truth. Or if I think it's wrong, it's wrong. We are not the moral compass. Mankind is not the moral compass of what is right and wrong, or what is truth and right. Man is not. The word of Almighty God, pinned down by the Holy Spirit, is the truth. And that truth is the moral compass of all humanity. It tells us what is truth. Let me tell you, in the Old Testament, God says anyone that had their hands in sorcery or divinations or bringing up spirits from the dead, they were to kill those people and destroy them. Because you see, those are from what? That's witchcraft. And we can see that today. The witchcraft that is going on in the movies, video games, TVs. I mean, it has gone awry in the whole world, not just our country, the whole world, and being accepted. God says it is an abomination unto him. That he says it is not good. It divides the heart of his people. It divided the hearts of his people, the Jewish people at that time. That's why he said, go and take that land and destroy them. And we think, oh my God. But God knew that their hearts were in the balance. And if they would let these people serve wooden gods or stone gods and turn to human sacrifice, that it would turn the hearts of his people towards something else and not towards him. We need to stand for truth. When the word of God says it's wrong, people. And we need to be aware of certain things. The witchcraft and the evil that is out there in all kinds of things, magic, all kinds of evil. that we stand for truth. And yes, God said in the last days, good will be called evil, and evil would be called what? Good. But just because God said it, we need to stand forth and stand upon the promises of God and do what God tells us to do and stand up for truth and stand up for what is right, no matter what. And yes, it's not easy to stand and your knees are shaking and you're kind of buckling and you're going, well, can I stand for what's right? But I tell you what, God says stand and the Holy Spirit will come and be with you and help you and encourage you. And he says, don't faint, don't faint, don't faint, don't faint, don't faint, don't faint. Stand up and do what is right. Stand up. My God, stand up for what's truth. It says in day two, the formation of the earth's atmosphere, separating the waters into two parts. You might say, well, what did he separate? The atmospheric water, that means in the heavens. Clouds, the formation of the clouds, the rain in the heavens. And the water that was upon the earth. The separation of it. That means it was all together. Nothing has to be separated unless it's all together. So God separated it, knowing that we would need the water of the rain. And knowing that we would need the water of the earth. And look, we're just on day two. And he's making it ready for who? Mankind. People, the love of the Father in his heart towards us. He knew he was about to make mankind. He knew he would make mankind. And he was making it ready for us. Making it perfect for us. That we would have everything we need, want, and desire. From the light to the waters. That's the kind of God we serve. That is so consistent in him giving us the things that we need. Because he does not faint. He does not look anywhere else. But he takes care of his people. As he was taking care of us even before we were even upon the earth, taking care of us. Taking care of us. Because it says that you and I are made what? In the likeness and the image of our God. It's amazing to me that we can see thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Some might look a little similar. But everyone's different. You know, many a times, as a postal worker, you see a lot of people. And you know certain people that work in businesses. Excuse me. And you see them and you get to know them. And you go other places and you see somebody and they remind you of them. And I don't, you know, most of the time. You'd like to go up to them and say, are you related to or do you have a sister or a brother that works, you know, because you look so familiar. Now, I've had people stop me and say, is your name? And they'll say a name. And no. Well, you look like I thought you were. You know, whoever. No. So you see, we look like other people, but we're all different. God was making this planet for us. Because as we read in Genesis chapter 2, it implies that he says it's finished when he ended with mankind. It's finished. On day 3, it says that... And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear, and it was so. as he separated in day two, the waters in the heavens and the waters upon the earth, it says, dry land come forth. And can you imagine the sight of the land coming up out of the waters? And the waters, now we have the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean on one end, Pacific on the other. We have the Gulf, you know, the south of us there. Waters all over. But the land came out because he knew how much land we would need. He knew what we would need. He saw the future. He knew the future of mankind. Then it says, all the vegetation and the seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit came. And some even think probably the Garden of Eden came up, which had to be in that area because it was part of the land, Garden of Eden. Day four, we can't get that misunderstood with day one, but day four it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day and the night. And let there be signs and season for all for days and years. The sun, the moon, the stars, all the planets came into being at that day. And he said there would be seasons, days, months. Don't believe global warming. It's not according to scripture. Don't believe it. Because God says that we would have seasons, days, nights, seasons, weeks, days, throughout eternity. It will last forever. When God does something, we know sin destroyed a lot of things and brought havoc and sin and all that stuff. But the things that God put in place, he put in place for mankind. And he said, it is finished. It is done. And when God puts his seal of approval and he puts a dot behind it, it's finished. It's done, people. It's done. Day five, the waters, day five, look at verse 20 of that same chapter. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundant, the moving creatures that has life, the fowler that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly, and all after their kind, and every winged fowl after their kind. And God saw that it was what? Good. And God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas. My God. My God. All the birds and all the living things in the oceans. But God left the best thing for last. All those things he created for us to help us. They were not made in his image. But he took a man. Well, he took some dirt from the ground and he formed man. And it's an amazing thing. He just spoke things into being and it was done. It was done. When he spoke, all let the living creatures fill up the oceans and the fowl of the air and in the atmospheres, that he spoke it into being. But it says when he took man and he formed man, that he did something special. That he breathed the breath of life into Adam. I told you, Lane, thank God, God used some good names like Adam and Eve, Mary and Joseph, you know, those simple names. But can you imagine as Adam was laying upon that dirt, he was formed as a man. He wasn't formed like as a baby. He was an actual man. Age, we're not sure. Doesn't say. I don't know. But he was formed as a man laying there. And it says that God breathed into his nostrils, not his mouth, into his nose. That's where we breathe. most of the time, unless we have a cold or something. The normal process is breathing through our nose. We inhale, exhale. But it says that he breathed into his nose. Now, what does the scripture say that has life? Life is in the what? What is it? Blood. Life is in the blood. Some people think, and I have to say I'm leaning towards that too, but whatever. This is just a bar note of things. When the Father breathed into the nose, he breathed blood into the body of Adam. Because why? Life is in the blood. And he had no life till the blood entered that body. And a spirit and a soul, definitely, too. But that had to be put into him. That's why the Bible says don't eat anything with the blood in it, like blood boudin and all this stuff. When I go to restaurants and we have meat, I want it well, not, I just like it well done. I don't like to cut it and this stuff flow it out, you know, it's like, ooh. Some people like it rare or whatever, medium rare, I just know. But it says that he gave him life. Then he made Eve out of Adam. God created it all, people. And let's go back to that scripture in Genesis chapter 2. I knew I wouldn't finish. There's no way. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. He ended it. That's it. Everything we need is here already. Everything we have, God has created it. Well, is anything new happening? Man is not being formed into anything else. Man didn't come from monkeys. Might say, well, I've seen a few people that kind of look. Well, I don't care. I've seen a few people that have the certain characteristics of it. You know, they go from limb to limb, you know, flying here and flying there. That's okay. But in the end, every one of us is made in the image of our God. A three-part soul, spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three parts. We're made in his image. And when he finished, he said, it's finished. And you know what? He was pleased with it. Now, Lucifer wasn't, because he used to rule this world, what was here before. And that's a whole other thing. But you have to remember this. He's pleased with you. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know some of the things. That's right, I don't know. And I don't want to know. But I know this. We serve a God that can help us to get through those things. That can help us to live a life that is pleasing unto him. He said, it is finished. It is done. His work is finished. Can you imagine the first beginning? He started. And when he ended with man, he didn't say there's something else I gotta do. He didn't say there's something else I have to create. He said it's done. It's finished. And he gave all dominion unto Adam and Eve to rule the land, to rule it. Because you see, we were made in his image, in the likeness of our God. That's who we are in Christ. It has been finished by God. Nothing else is being created. Nothing else is being evolutionized. It's all been done. It's all been done. Everything has been taken care of by God. He has given us what we need for today. He has given us what we need for tomorrow. And he'll give us what we need in a year from now, or 2 years, or 5 years, whatever it may be, to the coming of our Lord and Savior. It's an amazing thing. He starts out and he finishes his work. Then we're going to see in the middle of his scriptures, there's another point where it says, it is finished. And we're going to see in Revelations where it talks about, it is done. It's an amazing thing, the word of God, how God has put these scriptures together, people. It's amazing. It's amazing. It says that he who searches it will find treasure. Find the treasure in this scripture. Don't just lay it upon your shelf and let it stay there. The scriptures is there for us to find the treasure. It's there. He began with, it's finished. It's going to be in the middle, it's finished. And at the end, it's finished. The whole scriptures. The whole scriptures. Praise God. Why don't you stand, please?